My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're getting football back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Video coming out of Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson having an animated conversation on the sideline. You know who also loves that conversation? I love it. It's demonstrative. Who cares?
There's often appearance versus reality in life.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, Seahawks wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Falcons safety Jesse Bates III. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Jesse Bates of the Falcons joining us in 20 minutes' time. We had a great chat with Daniel Jeremiah in hour number one about everything going on in training camp that we could jam into a 20-plus minute conversation. Jaxon Smith-Njigba in hour number three. You throughout, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show, flying off to the football-loving state of Ohio, where I will be a hailed hero going into that town. Canton, Ohio. They love me in Ohio, man.
There'll be some Michigan people there.
There's Michigan people everywhere.
There'll be more than most, probably most years.
Oh, please. It'll be everywhere. Although, you know, you're hearing the NCAA is gunning for Michigan right now.
What they do now?
Yeah.
Well, from last year.
Because they should.
From last year. So what if that gets announced before I stroll up onto the podium?
That might make it tough for you, bro.
You might have to cancel.
No, I wouldn't cancel. First of all, I love doing that jacket there. And two, if you will, nobody's taking away anything from me.
As long as you don't got to give the trophy back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because everything that apparently Michigan was doing to gain an advantage didn't keep me out of put me in a rocking chair very often in the first two of the three in a row that they beat Ohio State. And then that entire system had been ripped out completely by the time they found Ohio State in their house and Alabama in the Rose Bowl and Washington in the national championship game. Completely gone. So that said, I come in peace. Canton, Ohio.
When you say Rich, you don't want no problems. You don't want no trouble.
I have no quarrels.
Here it comes.
I'm just going to hand out jackets.
Yeah, have some fun.
I come in peace.
I don't want no smoke.
I do. I'm a uniter, not a divider.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
That's correct.
So, Richie, you're basically like what 50 Cent wants. Whenever somebody says you want a problem, you don't want a problem. But if they want a problem, you'll give them a problem.
That's correct. I think well said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I come in peace, Canton. I come in peace.
Like the aliens.
So there's that. I got the run of show for the jacket dinner last night.
What do we got?
Hasn't changed much.
Oh, well, what's the order? That's what I meant.
Oh, of who gets the jacket first?
Yeah, are you allowed to disclose?
I can tell you. I mean, who gets their jacket first? I mean,
I was just curious. What the
The gauntlet happens first. All the Hall of Famers are returning. Dan Fouts is doing that again.
Oh, nice.
By the way, he did that off the top of his head, I think, last year. He had an earpiece in his ear. Dan is as great as they come. And he would just tell you which Hall of Famer's coming out. He's standing there right in the middle. It's like a half an hour long of the returning Hall of Famers. And then they line up in a gauntlet on each side of the center stage, and then
it's so cool.
One by one, the new inductees walk through, and it's pretty great. It's awesome. So I come in peace. That's all I'm saying. Peace, love, and understanding, and three straight wins.
See right there, that's not peaceful, bro.
Talking about
it is not at all, is it? But it's factual. I'm a man of facts.
It's hard to argue these.
Yeah, man of facts. That's what I am.
I'm looking at you.
What do you mean, this guy? It's the truth.
I know. It's great.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Jake in Phoenix has been hanging on for a while, and I need to be fair and balanced since I took a shot at the Cowboys. Are you a Cowboy fan, Jake?
I am a Cowboys fan, Rich, but okay. I think I'm a realistic Cowboys fan.
What do you mean?
Take your shots.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, what are you trying to say, Jake?
It means I would like to play win-loss, and I think you're going to be pleased with the direction I take.
Listen, no. Listen, Jake, I don't,
Jake,
I don't want you to categorize me as anything. I'm not a cookie cutter guy that you could just one size fits all. I mean, I just want whichever fan that calls in to just do it straight from the heart. That's all I ask for.
This will be straight from the heart. And Rich, you're very dimensional. I feel it.
Thank you very much. To the point where thank you so much. Here we go. Give Jake and Phoenix some music. Win-loss game for the Dallas Cowboys. What happens when they stroll into Cleveland with Tom Brady in the booth in week one on Fox?
When they stroll in that first week, they are going to take a loss to the Cleveland Browns.
An 0-1 start. Oh, my God. What will happen that next week then? Home opener against the Saints.
Against the Saints, they're going to win.
All right. All right. Now, we're evened up when the Ravens stroll in.
That's a scary team. I don't see anything good happening. That's a loss.
Okay. 1-2 at the Giants on a Thursday night, Amazon Prime Video.
I've been watching Hard Knocks. That's a dysfunction going on right now. We will win.
All right. So, 500 at the Steelers.
We will win.
3-2 home for the Lions.
We will lose.
3-3 in the bye week will be a long-ass bye week. Coming out at the Niners, what happens?
We will lose, Rich.
3-4, T.J. Jefferson. Hair on fire.
Not my dreads.
At the Falcons.
We will win.
4-4, home for the Eagles.
We will lose, Rich.
4-5, home for the Texans on a Monday night.
We will lose, Rich.
4-6. Oh, my God!
Calling Belichick.
At the Washington Commanders.
We will win.
5-6.
I mean, that's obvious.
Giants Thanksgiving.
We will win.
6-6. Okay, here we go. Home for the Bengals on a Monday night.
We will lose.
Come on! 6-7 at the Panthers.
I like Bryce, but we will win.
All right now. 7-7. We got to finish strong. Home for the Bucks.
We will win.
8-7 at the Eagles.
Rich, I want to say we will win, but Philly will sweep us and we will lose.
8-8 home for the Commanders.
This guy's like the Trojan horse.
We will win.
9-8. Jake and Phoenix.
Wow.
Okay. All right, Jake.
You do know
that means you got a new coach, right? 9-8?
I do know, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been supportive of McCarthy, been supportive of Dak, but make the call. Call Bill. See what we can do. I just, you know, the big thing for me is people are saying Dak's not the guy, but if not Dak, then who? And don't give me this nonsense that they think Trey Lance is the answer. Get out of here with that.
Jake and Phoenix, thank you for the time. Wow. Thanks for the call. 9-8 right there.
9-8. Realistic. 9-8, we got some real changes.
I don't think that was realistic at all.
That wasn't far off than what you said.
All right, you said, TJ, you were 11-6.
Yeah,
here's the difference. You think they're winning week one. Every other Cowboy fan that's called and says that's a loss.
What they know.
Everybody thinks the Cowboys lose to the Ravens, including you, TJ.
I mean, you know.
You gave them a loss at Pittsburgh.
That hurt.
He gave them a win. You had them starting 3-3, so did he. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah,
you had them 3-4. Nobody thinks the Cowboys are beating the Niners.
I mean, they haven't shown me any reason they can't.
You had them losing to Houston after back-to-back wins against the Falcons and Eagles.
I did.
Then you had them ripping off 5 straight wins.
Oh, baby. Washington Giants. Remember, we have 11 days to sit while the Bengals have to play twice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There you have it.
Oof.
9-8 would be all out. All out.
Let me tell you what's not going to happen. 9-8. Let's go.
Okay. All right. I hear you. So the NFL Network, Friday night, during the Jacket Dinner, I believe. The top 100, the annual listing of players, 100 countdown all the way to number one, as voted on by the peers of the National Football League players. Who are the best players in the National Football League? We now know who is in the top 10, just not in any order. Here's the alphabetical order. Look at all the number of defenders in this top list here. You've got Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, Chris Jones on your defensive line.
Wow.
You've got one receiver, it's Tyreek Hill. You've got one tight end, Travis Kelce. You got one offensive lineman, Trent Williams. You got one running back, McCaffrey. You got defensive stallion, TJ Watt, I guess is a linebacker. We're listing him here. That's what the NFL Network is listing him. And then two quarterbacks, Lamar and Mahomes. Once again, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, Tyreek Hill, Lamar Jackson, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, TJ Watt, and Trent Williams, your top 10. Tune in Friday night to hear how they are ordered. Unless you listen to me first.
Oh, yes.
I've got a power ranking.
I know.
I'm going to give you the top 10 in order if I was a peer.
Okay.
Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, here we go. My top 10 players of the year.
Here we go.
I'm ordering the final listing of the 10 players as voted by the peers and soon to be revealed in the NFL Network top 100. Here's the top 10 in my order. It's amazing. Justin Jefferson was two last year, and obviously he was hurt.
Well, yeah.
So the top wide receiver in the league, according to the peers, is Tyreek Hill. How about them apples? I'm surprised it wasn't CeeDee Lamb, to be straight up with you.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
So that's why I'm putting Tyreek 10, with all due respect to my friend the Cheetah.
Whoa.
Tyreek Hill is 10 on this list. Deuces. To him, right there, he's 10. Number 9 on the list is a guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm putting Trent Williams here at number 9 overall.
Okay.
I'm going to put my offensive lineman at number 9 overall right here. Yep. Now's where things begin to get a little bit rubber meeting the road with all of these fantastic defensive players, and how do you rank them? I'm going to put Max Crosby number 8. On the list right here, the Condor, congrats to him, by the way, to make this top 10. He is, without a doubt, a game wrecker of the first variety and a self-made man from personally and professionally what he has overcome with alcohol addiction, I believe, coming from the great institution of higher learning down the road from the University of Michigan in Washtenaw County, Eastern Michigan. Max Crosby is 8 on this list. Number 7 on this list is Mr. Perfectly Fine himself, Travis Kelce. I'm putting the tight end here. And kudos to him being a tight end in the top 10 annually. But he's going to be in my top 7. He's number 7 on this list. Number 6 on this list is the MVP of the National Football League. I'm putting Lamar Jackson right here. You think he's a little too high for you, Christopher?
A little low. I just jotted my list down real quick.
I'm putting Lamar here, 6th overall.
Okay.
Because now I'm going to start to say, what are we doing in the playoffs?
You think the players care about that?
I don't know. This is my power rankings. Yeah. There may be others like it, but this one is mine.
I agree with you. That matters a lot for me.
This is where, I say that even though I'm putting Miles Garrett 5.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
And they're like, well, what do you do in the playoffs? 0.0. C.J. Stroud lit him up. What do you do?
Yeah.
But he's Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
And I'm putting him 5 on the list right here. Number 4 on the list is T.J. Watt. I'm putting T.J. Watt here on the list. And in case anybody's like, how could you put him over the Defensive Player of the Year when you didn't even give him Defensive Player of the Year status when you voted for it yourself on this show? I don't have a vote in this thing officially because the Associated Press thinks I'm a stooge of the NFL because I'm an NFL employee. I'm on a mouthpiece. That ain't happening.
Some might say.
Whatever. Here's what I'll say, because a friend, once upon a time, what I thought dear close friend, sent me this list of T.J. Watt's accomplishments and this handy graphic I'm holding.
You're really
right
pandering
here.
To this friend, former friend.
I'm not, I stand mistaken. Led the league in sacks last year, quarterback hits, tackles for loss, he's fifth, forced fumbles fifth, fumble recoveries tied for third. He had a pick and a touchdown from his position, too. You can't deny that. But he's not the top defender on my list. That's Chris Jones. Dude threw Deion Dawkins in the lap of Josh Allen to save the day against the Bills. And then when Christian McCaffrey was inside the five in the Super Bowl, he blew that thing straight up. Right? When the Niners had a third down, dude. And they were in a do or die mode in a way in overtime in the red zone. And Jones just blew it up.
Yeah.
So he's doing it the highest level in the biggest games and getting paid and doing what he's doing. To me, I think he's the top defender on this list. Number two is Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
And man, he's just unbelievable. What he's doing at this position that has been devalued in the National Football League, straight up devalued until rubber meets road in must-have moments on offense in the biggest games in the tightest league.
In a game they lost.
I know, but not because of him. Although he did fumble, in the opening drive of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Which was a stunner. I'm still putting him two, man. And number one is Mahomes. I mean, get out of here.
Yeah. Not close, though.
Really?
It's not going to be close.
He's number one, and until further notice.
Yeah.
That's my top power rankings.
Yeah, I jotted him down too. We're very close. I went Mahomes, Lamar too. Got to give the MVP some credit there.
Okay.
CMC 3, Myles Garrett, because trophies matter, and I'm not subject to influence from outside sources. Myles Garrett's fourth.
I put Chris Jones over
T.J. Watt, five. Chris Jones, six. Kelce, seven. Tyreek Hill, eight. A little more respect for me from Tyreek. Then Max and Trent rounded out.
Well, did you just put Trent Williams there because he's a tackle? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's top 10. Go to the Hall of Fame.
T.J.?
You know, I just listened to your. I didn't.
Okay.
Because I feel like once you get to that 10, it's so subjective.
I hear you.
I did not dislike your list, though. I say that.
Well, we'll cut and paste and see how accurate I am. Chris Jones, dude. In the biggest moments, in the biggest games, showing up the biggest.
Yep.
And I'm not influenced by the NFL or anybody's brother.
Well, I don't know about the
former,
but the latter.
Excuse
me.
This is.
You literally printed out the graphic he sent you.
Well, I mean, this is a graphic that the numbers support it. The numbers support it. No, the numbers support it, though.
Hey, well, one guy won the trophy. That's all.
I know. I hear you.
I'm just kidding.
844. No, you're not. All right, let's take a break so we're on time for Jesse Bates III. He's next on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, the first. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Price is higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger.
With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So his arrival in Nebraska when he connected with them was highly touted. Dylan Raiola, the quarterback, right? He has arrived, I guess, for the season in their training camp. Nebraska tweeted out a photograph of him. Tell me what you see when you see him.
Man, I don't know how you can't see it.
I thought it was seriously Jackson Mahomes at first, and I thought, what's going on? This guy looks just like Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
It's like uncanny, dead ringer. Right? It's uncanny.
Well, apparently, I guess Mahomes and Cheetah both responded to it. Ain't no way.
Boy, ain't no
that's
way.
My little cuzzo. Mahomes.
Saw that yesterday. So good.
It's pretty cool, huh?
I mean, that dude was super highly rated, right?
Yeah. Right. So there's Patrick and Raiola. It does look really.
And he's wearing the those shades that Mahomes always wears. And
well, if you play quarterback and you look anything like Patrick Mahomes physically, you're gonna just play it up.
Lean into it,
right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this.
It's uncanny.
I think Pat Sr. has some splaining to do. As Ricky Ricardo once told Lucy, he got some splaining to do because that is too.
Look at it.
That's too close, my guy.
Pretty cool.
Come on, man.
Well,
he
you'll
looks
know,
more like Patrick Mahomes than Patrick Mahomes looks like Patrick Mahomes. Crazy.
You'll know it's really on if at a Big Ten game near you, somebody shows up with a Kermit the Frog with a Raiola jersey on him.
Yo, does he sound like
him
too?
Are you telling Colorado to like be careful or like, who's on the Nebraska schedule this year? Like, be careful.
You're right. Well, apparently, he's really good.
Yeah.
It's exciting in the Big Ten. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Jonathan in Maryland, let's take his phone call. Line 5, DJ Mikey D. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was wondering if I could give you the stats of two quarterbacks in their final year of college, and you could tell me which one's probably going to be better.
Oh, they're currently in college, or you mean current NFL quarterbacks from when they were in college? What do you mean?
Won't say. I'll let you give a guess.
Jonathan, come on. Hold on a second. The stats you're giving me are quarterbacks currently in college, or they've left?
They've left.
Okay, so they're in the National Football League at present, what you're about to give us, right?
At present, yes.
Okay. Jonathan in Maryland, you have the floor with the statistics.
Sure. So they both come from fairly similar places, great head coaches. Mm-hmm. They went undefeated their final year. They won a national championship.
All right, so one's J.J. McCarthy, and the other is who?
So one of them has a completion percentage of over 77%, the other 72%.
Yep.
The 77% one, he threw for over 4,000 yards. The 72% one, you guessed it, J.J. McCarthy, has under 3,000 yards. J.J. McCarthy's touchdown-interception ratio, 22-4, nothing too special. This other guy,
60?
41-4.
Oh, 41. I thought you were going Burrow.
That's what I thought.
Okay, 41-4.
No, it's Bo Nix.
Okay. But he didn't win a national championship.
That's what he said.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So who's the other one? Are they both currently in the NFL?
They're both currently in the NFL, yeah.
All right.
Huh. I don't want to start looking. I'm trying to pull this.
Well, I mean, who's a national champion in the
Tua?
No, is it Bryce Young?
Nope.
All right, it's not Bryce Young.
Okay, well, Cam won a natty. He's
that's what I'm saying.
He's not technically still in the NFL.
Was it Tua?
Tua?
No, Tua
it's
won.
Not Tua.
No, Tua was not the full-time start of the year that he won.
Right.
All right, Jonathan, go for it. Who is it?
It's Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
Knowing that in the back of your head, to put this into a candy analogy, how can you argue that someone like J.J. McCarthy will be, for you, a jelly bean, or for me, a Heath bar, a top-tier candy?
Heath bar.
When we've seen other people in college who have done really well, wind up kind of like duds, like almost like a Three Musketeers type candy. How can you be so sure that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the next big thing when Mac Jones definitely could have been it and is most certainly not?
Okay, I'm just trying to see where you're coming from here. What's your allegiance that you're what are you grinding an axe about?
Well, I don't mean to be grinding an axe. I'm just sort of wondering, how can you be so sure that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the next big thing in Minnesota?
First of all, there's very little thing is a sure thing in the NFL. That's number one. How does this sound? The only pushback I would give here is that I think Kevin O'Connell is better equipped to develop J.J. McCarthy than the coaches post Josh McDaniels were for Mac Jones. How does that sound? I'll go in that direction. And also, you know, one's a Michigan man, Jonathan. I mean, my goodness gracious. What else do you want me to say? You know what I mean?
That's okay. That's fair.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it right there.
No problem.
That's a lot of fun.
That's fair.
Didn't see Mac Jones coming.
Mac Jones did have statistically one of the greatest seasons by a college quarterback of all time.
And by the way, Mac Jones's rookie season when Josh McDaniels was in his helmet
was good.
And calling the plays, he was terrific.
And then for one reason or another, which we probably never will find out, Bill decided to sabotage his development.
I don't know. That's a harsh way to put it, but
I don't know how you could think otherwise.
I don't think he decided to sabotage it.
He made at coaching.
No, he decided to go with guys who have not, you know, that's not their bailiwick. Jesse Bates of the Atlanta Falcons here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jesse? Good to see you.
How you doing? Good afternoon. Whatever it is.
It's all right, Jesse. You know what it is? It's football time. That's what it is.
Right.
It's football standard time right now. What's going through your mind first day of August of a football season?
Yeah. You know, this is our second week going into training camp, and just excited to, you know, be a part of, you know, a training camp. It's something that I never take for granted, you know, personally. And then just excited for, you know, what we got going here in Atlanta. There's a lot of momentum, you know, coming from the off season. And now we're here. The sense of urgency has kind of picked up now. You know, we're ready to continue to build on what we did throughout OTAs. And, you know, a couple of days we'll be going to Miami for a joint practice. And next thing you know, it'll be September 8th and we'll be playing our first game. So very excited.
So, you know, when to virtually a man, anybody who's been coached by Raheem Morris swears by him. What has he brought to the equation in just the first few months, Jesse?
Yeah, I think it's just been the vibe around the building. Anytime I think you bring up Raheem Morris, you talk about from a defensive guy or offensive guy, everybody kind of says the similar things, and it's someone that's going to bring, you know, high energy. No matter whether, you know, you're winning or you're losing, you know, it's a great, great leader for us to have, you know, as a head coach. And I'm just excited to, you know, play with them. You know, we haven't faced any adversity, but having Raheem as our leader, a leader of men, just to watch how he operates in the team meeting rooms, how he's holding people accountable, you know, day in and day out has been amazing to see. It's some of the best meetings that I've ever been a part of. So, you know, very excited, like I said, to get this season rolling. And there's no better person to lead us than, you know, Raheem.
Give me an example about holding people accountable already. What do you got?
Yeah. You know, he's just very clear and concise with, you know, showing clips and, you know, what's the right way, what's not the right way. You know, maybe, you know, for Kyle Pitts, hey, we're calling this play for exactly for you. You know, you should run this route like it's one of your last. And I just, like I said, I think the way he explains it, you know, a lot of times in, you know, in NFL, in this new era, head coaches are either offensive coach or they're a defensive coach. Raheem's all of that in one. And he not just holding the defense accountable. It's an all around thing. And like I said, it's very exciting to see, you know, just a week into training camp and the way that, you know, he's orchestrating these team meetings has been amazing.
So the film that he's showing, for instance, that you in the example you just gave? Is it just from this training camp or this year, or he's showing 2023, 2022 Kyle Pitts to everybody when he's talking about it?
I mean, it's not just Kyle Pitts. I was just kind of
using that. Right.
But yeah, it's from this year.
It is.
You know, offense is a little bit different than it was in past years. So yeah, it's just focusing on the now, focusing, you know, what's being called now for Kyle, and making sure that he knows the importance of, you know, hey, you're the first read here. You should get open here. This should be one of your best routes, you know, because we're calling this play for you. So, like I said, there's plenty of examples I can give you, but that's just one, I can use.
And Jesse Bates here from the Falcons on the Rich Eisen Show. And obviously, you know the importance of looking towards a quarterback for leadership as well. You're kind of the quarterback of your defense. But just in terms of writ large in the NFL, quarterback-driven league, you came from a spot where Burrow was doing his thing and you were doing your thing with Burrow doing his thing. And now here comes Kirk Cousins into the mix. How has he already taken ownership, leadership of this team, Jesse?
Yeah. You know, Kirk he's a one in a lifetime type of person. I think his experience, I mean, when you're comparing, you compare guys, you know, with Joe Burrow and Kyle and all those other guys, but Kirk is, you know, one guy that, you know, he's just his presence alone, is what's so important. I think you have all these young guys around. You got, you know, Drake London, and you got, you know, Mooney that we just brought in, you know, Rondale Moore. And there's no better guy than Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's seen it all. You know, he's been in the league for 12 plus years, and, you know, his journey has been amazing. It's not like he was first round. He was the guy from the start. I mean, he's been benched before. I mean, he knows the process and the strategies that it takes to be successful in this league. And for guys to see that, not just, like I said, not on the offensive side, but for our defense to see the way he comes to work every day, I think that's the biggest thing, is his presence and his leadership in this locker room has been huge. And like I said, I haven't been around a guy, a quarterback that's as vocal as him, you know, not just on the offensive side, on the defensive side, as a true leader of our locker room. I'm excited to continue to build our relationship together. You know, maybe, you know, compete with each other throughout training camp, but know that I'm always on his side, and, you know, just another resource that I can use, you know, on the field and off the field for later on in life.
Is that your way of saying you can't wait to obviously play together during the season, but if it happens during training camp, you will step in and you will pick it off and take it to the house on him? Did I just pick that up, Jesse?
You know, I mean, that's kind of what we play. That we play the cat and mouse game.
Sure.
Together. There's been a lot of twos and ones reps right now, but, you know, we go mamba period. You know, we go ones versus ones, and I always tell Kirk, I finally get to see you. You know, we kind of get to stare at each other all day, and you know, like I said, play those type of games with each other. And like I said, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that you're able to, you know, have conversations with that seen at all. You know, being able to have, you know, Kirk as a resource, like I said, to go and watch film with him and ask him what his thought process is. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks, I mean, they're not being taught different things, you know. And like I said, Kirk has seen it all. And for him to be able to be vocal and you know, give me some more of his game and vice versa has just been huge for me to continue to expand my game and expand my leadership in this defense.
How much of Michael Penix have you seen, Jesse?
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. That's all I've been, you know, we've been going two versus ones.
And, yep. How does he look?
I mean, he looks great, man. You know, you talk about a guy that can make every single throw on the field. I think that's probably been the most impressive thing that we jumped off the tape, I think, all OTAs and now training camp. I mean, he can throw the deep ball, if you're not honest. I mean, he's super accurate. His decision-making is very fast. I've been very impressed with, you know, his the way he's kind of attacked every single day. Because, I mean, it's easy for him to kind of, oh, I'm the backup, I'm this, I'm that, making excuses. And the way he's attacked it has been huge. I mean, he's my locker mate. So continue to build that relationship. And, and hopefully pick him off a little bit too in training camp.
Nice. He's good people. He's really good people. I got a chance to chit-chat with him prior to the draft. He's your locker mate. He's directly next to you, Jesse.
Oh yeah, Yeah, me and Mike, I mean, we're right next to each other. We talk, cool. You know, before practice, after practice, kind of what he sees, what I see. So it's an open conversation. Like I said, you know, Mike's he's not a big rah-rah guy. He's very calm. You don't see him get, you know, overwhelmed too much, but, you know, it's different. You know, a left-hand quarterback, it's a little bit different as a safety to, you know, feel that. You know, the way his progressions work, it's opposite than a right hand guy.
Well,
so,
yeah. Help me with this one, because he's a smart kid and aware kid. I'm sure he's heard the national conversation of the why in the world did the Falcons draft him. And I'll be straight up with you. I've been one of the many in the media wondering that from the get go. So how has he handled that part of the conversation, do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, you know, we haven't had that conversation as much. I think that's, you know, that's all of the outside talk.
Yep.
You know, Mike, I think he's just a, you know, a learner. He wants to learn no matter what his role is. He wants to contribute some type of way. And I know he'll learn. Like I said, there's not, you know, a lot of guys that get put in that position, but I think the way he's attacking it, his mindset and the growth mentality, I think that's what, you know, is more of our conversations more about than, you know, why did they pick me? Why didn't I go somewhere else? You know, I'm very impressed with who he is and the person that he is. And I'm excited to see where his career goes.
And a few minutes left with Jesse Bates, the third here on the Rich Eisen Show. You crushed it last year, Jesse, and not that you weren't crushing it beforehand. But in this league, when somebody gets paid or pizzed, you know, it can land hard in terms of pressure. How have you been able to do what you've done with expectation levels, certainly contractually placed upon you, Jesse?
You know, expectations, you know, they're a good thing. But I think the process, like I said, I was speaking about earlier, the process and just the growth that I've seen in myself. You know, last year was a lot of new things for me, coming to, you know, leading Cincinnati after 5 years, you know, becoming a father. I think that's where my mindset kind of shifted, and not just being a good player, but a great player and understanding what it took to get to that next level. So, you know, I got a lot of thanks to, you know, Mr. Blank. I mean, he's put me in a peaceful mind, you know, where, you know, my family's taken care of, you know, mentally, I'm at peace and I can just go out there and play free, play fast, and enter that role of being a leader. I think that was another big part of it. And, you know, just accepting that role, like I said, accepting the things that came with it, the preparation that came into it, knowing not just my job, knowing what everyone around me is doing. And like I said, just continue to grow as a person and as a player as well. I think that's one of the biggest things.
Son, daughter, who'd you have? Your boy or girl?
Yeah, JB4, so baby boy.
JBIV, yeah. Huh? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Does he already have some ball hawking skills, or what do we have? What have you seen so far?
I mean, that's probably one of his first words that he said was, you know, ball. And he almost tries to catch the ball. He puts his hands up, you know, when we throw the ball back and forth. So he's getting it. Hopefully those ball skills of mine are in our DNA. And it comes natural to him.
He grips the bottle well, like is right. He holds it up or anything like that. Do you see it?
No. I think he's going to be a lefty.
Oh, Penix. Okay. So
I'm excited to see, you know, what path he takes. But I like that sign that you got over there. Best dad ever.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've got three. I've got three, two boys and a girl. So, you know, right now I think I'm ahead right now, but I think you can, I've seen you make up ground. Don't you worry. I've seen that before. Before I let you go, week one against the Steelers, who do you think you're going to be defending against? Which quarterback do you think you're going to be defending against, Jesse?
Yeah. You know, with knowing, you know, Arthur, who brought me here.
Yep.
Who had a big part of bringing me here, and understanding kind of what his offense was when, you know, this past year, I can kind of see, you know, a mixture of both of them. You know, you have Russ, who is another guy who, you know, who's seen it all. You know, haven't had the best couple last years, but still is super capable of, you know, reading the defense and knowing exactly what, you know, guys are in. And then you got Justin Fields, who, you know, is more, you know, a dual type of quarterback. You know, Art loves a little bit of the the zone read stuff. I'm sure you've seen it all on Twitter, all the videos and stuff throughout training camp. But yeah, I think we'll see a little bit of both of them. They're both, you know, capable of, you know, being a starting quarterback in this league. And I know Mike Tomlin, I got a lot of respect for those guys over there. I mean, I was part of the AFC North for 5 years, so I know Mike will have those guys ready to play. So.
Yeah, I know, and that'll be big for Raheem Morris, too. You're seeing Arthur Smith back. I mean, that's going to be great. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that game, and I'm not suiting up. You must be fired up just even thinking about it, you know?
It's going to be a battle for sure, no doubt.
Well, I look forward to it, and I know you got other meetings, and I appreciate you, you know, zooming into this show, Jesse. I hope to do this more often.
Absolutely. I'll take care.
Thank you. You're right back at you. That's Jesse Bates III, father of JB IV.
Nice. That's awesome.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Think about that. Raheem Morris and Tomlin go way back.
Yep.
Arthur Smith is in town with his mustache. First up, it's Russ, most likely, right? Who knows?
I know you're pounding
the Justin Fields table.
I'm not pounding. I've fallen victim to some of the camp videos.
And you know, Bijan, Darnell
Mooney,
Pitts, Drake London,
love the
and the man formerly known as Pew Pew Pew, Rondell Moore from Arizona. Kirk Cousins. Jesse Bates. Calais, right?
No, is
he's
Miami gone,
right?
Now.
He's in Miami now. That's right.
Miami
okay.
Now, yeah. I mean, the Falcons are,
right.
You know, one of those teams. They could win 10, 11 games, or they could.
That's,
you know,
that is so under the radar of a week one game.
Yeah.
You know, talking about Kansas City and Brazil and Lions, Rams, Tom Brady in the booth in Cleveland with the Cowboys, Steelers, Falcons. Hashtag here we go. Oh, baby. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Black
phone calls.
Here we go.
Here we go. Very good. Jackson Smith and Jigba, hour number three. And the rest of it's just about us, right? That's the best thing about us.
That's the best thing about us.
No, Del Tufo's like, wait a minute, I'm rolling a break. You're throwing out. I know I have that drop.
We got a lot of stories to share.
Best thing about us, Mike, is it about us?
You know what? Hang on. So you see?
No, it's all right.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Thank you. We got it all.
I mean,
we got it all.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Is it true that you met Lorne Michaels as a vendor at Yankee Stadium, the SNL founder?
Yep.
Is that true?
Geek four. And I was a kid. And my friends told me, "That's Lorne Michaels, that's Lorne Michaels." He came out of the player's gate. And I overcharged him for like three bats and some Yankee shirts. And then when I became a cast member, I gave him back like $14 and some cents. And he said, "What's this for?" I said, "Because I overcharged you for some items." He started laughing. He started dying.
This is when you said game four, like what, the 96 World Series? Is that what that was, Tracy? What do you think?
Let me see what game.
When were you vending?
It was a Derek Jeter. No. Manningly, I think Manningly was playing.
Okay, so that was probably like 95 or something like that. Okay, so what were you doing out there? You were selling stuff. So you were
scalping tickets. I scalped tickets. I sold souvenirs and I sold cocaine. And that's when it was $21 a gram. I'm getting 45 regardless of how it go down for me.
So this is true.
I'm sorry, because I live right up the hill. So I had tickets, I had cocaine, and I had souvenirs.
You had it all. That's what you're saying. Back in the day.
$20, $21 a gram.
And so you sold hats and bats and stuff like that. And that's how you met. Isn't that
coke.
Amazing?
Don't forget the coke.
You got something in there,
Rich,
TJ?
Tracy really was Hustle Man from Martin back in the day.
I really was.
You really was Hustle Man.
I worked souvenirs and I was Tony Montana on the side.
This is so stupid. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network during that commercial break. This is fun. Listening to Mike Del Tufo call the play-by-play of an Olympian on the balance beam.
I mean,
it's just like
I should have went live. It was just
Del Tufo's. You were like, that's wobbly.
Nope. Yeah, right. She's shaking. Huh? She was shaking.
She was shaking.
You shake. I saw the foot kind of like.
So here's what we're going to do. We should start a new channel if we only had the rights to the Olympics. Called the Bronze Zone.
The Bronze Zone.
Right? Right. And where we're only covering third place finishes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
No, it's just Mike.
No, it's just
describing
it's,
what's happening on while we're watching the Olympics.
But for people and performances that aren't the best.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Gold Zone, right on Peacock.
Yep.
That's great.
That's
we love
Siciliano
it.
And, yep. and Hanson and Eisman are hosting.
Crushing. It's awesome. Yep.
Right?
The Gold Zone is amazing.
Okay. And so there's that. Again, I hosted a show called Tokyo Gold.
Yep.
If you didn't win gold, you're not making the show.
Nope.
Unless you're an American that's just like, "Hey, they finished silver, but here's who won the gold."
And that wasn't a Boss Skaggs album either, was it?
No, Tokyo Gold.
Tokyo Bronze.
Tokyo Gold is a strain of something.
So Paris Bronze, hosted by Mike Del Tufo.
Brockman would co-host. He would he would reel me in if I got a little to the, crazy.
Would you reel him in?
Yeah.
No. You're watching to see him unreeled.
I mean, Mike, if only you were watching the E! Channel right now, I'd want you to call play-by-play of the fencing that's going on.
Oh, well, I did fencing with Brockman.
What do you mean you did fencing? What does that mean?
Brockman. Brockman saw me call
fencing.
We
were watching some
fencing
yesterday.
How does one call fencing?
You kind of, it's like golf. It's quiet. It's quiet.
Hush tone.
It's not quiet. How's it quiet?
It's hush tone.
Because fencing is very quiet.
And then how, like a ballroom or
anything. You don't even know how a point gets awarded in fencing.
They're in the ballet.
You have no idea. You have, come on.
100%.
You know how to score fencing?
Yes, it's a strike to the chest.
With what?
And they have, with the
what?
Whatever they call it.
The thing. With the fence?
With the fencing. Thing.
Whatever, the thing. The thing.
A pay?
Thing. Is that what it's called? Rich, good job, Rich. See, Rich, that's, you could come in the booth with me. You could straighten me out if I like.
I don't hear you, TJ.
Foil, a pay, or saber. There's three different.
I'm at a loss for words.
What's a parry?
I have no idea, but I don't need to know that.
Yes, you do.
I can tell you if they did a pay. But I don't need to know that.
If you're calling the event.
No, you're not calling somebody putting up a fence.
There's
an actual sport.
I used to do that when I was a kid with my father, so I could tell you about
that Olympics. You got to do stuff around the house.
What I'm saying is I could see if you fenced poorly.
You could know when somebody's fencing poorly. Yes.
I can tell you, you fenced poorly.
The saber.
The bronze zone. The Mike Del Tufo Mike. Bronze zone. Give which, by the way, also, I think, describes his Instagram algorithm as well.
Mike, just so you know, the next time someone asks you, because I was watching
zone?
Fencing.
It's the bronzer zone.
The Jersey Shore. The parry is when you're shore? Trying to deflect an incoming an incoming
thank
attack.
Thank you, TJ.
So, yeah.
Because I was paying attention when I was watching it. What? TJ, you could host it with me.
Oh, gee, thank
Brockman
you.
Doesn't want.
Oh, gee,
Brockman
thanks.
Doesn't want.
You're sloppy seconds on the bronze zone.
No, come on,
that's terrible.
What are we doing?
No one wants to do that.
I mean, I can't you're have a Dallas.
Flip over to the E-Channel so we can watch the fencing. Come on.
Here we go.
You're doing a bad job right. navigating
I don't know. Could
here.
We get sued for even verbalizing what's going on the screen?
Look, if CBS...
Without the express written
see,
consent of NBC
Sports,
of Mark Lazarus and the IOC...
Look, if CBS didn't sue us for the Price is Right thing, I think we're
Rich,
good.
You could just text Dick Ebersol real quick. He's probably got some emeritus rights.
Yeah, some emeritus that's, rights that's to basically point. Say. Yeah. All right, yeah, they're moving back and forth. They're moving up. Oh, no, they touched. The no, one got
weak.
Touched. One got
back.
Touched.
Or he?
You mean that's a week?
It's just, who knows?
We have no
bronze
idea.
Zone, everybody.
With Michael D.
I want to see you fence. We need to do that.
No, stuff. I'm not playing
what
any.
Mean?
I'm not doing any of these.
Like, we did sumo wrestling. Why can't you fence?
I want to see Del Tufo dressage. MDT dressage no on the horse that walks sideways. Horse. You know? What do you think?
I'm going to be honest. Sideways. I want to do that.
Be honest.
I mean, don't
varnish what you're about to say.
I want to be the spotter for archery. That is the gig I want. Because I was thinking about this, and yes. I've been saying this to Chris, and he's been laughing every day.
What?
It's really not a hard job if you think about it.
What are you talking about? It's down to like millimeters.
No, but the spotter.
What do you mean the spotter?
He sits, has a, or she sits there
big
with
magnum,
a basically
big telescope.
Big telescope and tells a guy, you're a little right, you're a little left,
oh,
you're a little
check
like
the wind.
Low.
Okay.
That, to me, I can easily do that.
Checking
now, I shot weapons because I was
wind.
A cop, and I still shoot weapons.
Shot weapons.
And,
like, you shot like a...
And in all honesty,
what did you have, like
I can totally 100%
issue gun
be
back
the spotter
then.
In archery.
Dude.
There's no question I could do
shot
that.
Weapon.
He if was, anything I could do.
You know what? He was the bronze standard as a police officer.
No, actually, I was like the...
No, you were... There's no pressure. Make, the medal was not precious.
I actually got a couple medals. Remember, I delivered a baby that was a premature, and I got a commendation.
You did.
Which means I wore a little thing on my thing. I got
you
a medal.
You wore a little thing in your thing.
I win things.
Which I think is how the baby got, you know, conceived in the first place.
Matt, I have a baby that I delivered somewhere in the world.
Oh, my God.
I wish we could track down this baby.
Right? That would be the
could
ultimate.
You imagine the reuniting me and the other cop that delivered the baby with me?
That would be great. Yeah.
In a car, right?
That would make for a nice moment.
No, she would house.
So you think you could spot
100%
for an Olympic archer?
100%.
To tell an Olympic archer whose life has been... leading to this moment, just looking through the telescope to say you're a little off.
How do we make this happen?
It's a targeter. You know, 100% I can do that.
But there's all sort. There's like weather. There's wind. There's distance.
They're not saying pull back a little harder. You're not doing that. You're not coaching a gut person like that.
What are you saying?
You're telling them where the shot is.
Yeah.
So okay.
They see it themselves.
Okay. So they hit a 9, and it's like 2 inches to the left.
You know what?
You go a little right more. You just come on. I would even do it like Italian. A little bit to the right. I'd be like, come on.
What?
A little down.
That's how you would say
that's
it.
That's how I do it. It's a little down. A little down. It's like when you're cooking.
We're gonna call USA Archery and see how that works.
I'm sending out a tweet, literally. If you're an Olympic level archer and live near LA, please contact us.
844-204
Del Tufo thinks
please,
he can be your spotter.
Please, I'm begging everybody. In the meantime, Jackson Smith and Jigba will join us on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show in hour number 3. By the way, you know, if Mike Del Tufo was an official spotter for an archer, and the archer is pulling back, you know, the arrow, you would not be at all paying attention. Or you'd be talking
100%.
About, did you see that thing last night?
Rich.
Did you see that? You would be chattering
Rich.
With the other, you'd be chattering with the other
no,
archer spotter.
Depends on what they look
about
like.
About something to do with something. You'd be doing your banking, you know, on
no,
your
no,
phone.
No, you can't have phones.
So you'd pay
no
more
phones.
Attention
no, I'd be,
to the
I'd be,
archer.
I'd be zoned in. Yeah.
Than you do here for this show.
No, this is like archery. I'm spotting the concept.
That's like Seinfeld. Remember when Kramer had to set the alarm for the guy running the marathon?
Sure.
And they overslept.
Yeah, right. this guy?
This is like, we'd win. We win gold. We'd win gold.
Because you're able to say,
gold. Yeah,
a little more to the
right. A
little
more to the right, a little down, a little up. You were a little low. Lift up a little.
I had no idea how the bronze zone segment would go, but I think it's a smash hit.
I would say right now, Roku's Joe and Charlie are sitting there and they're thinking we are on a gold mine.
They are. Hell yeah.
They have to know that they've struck gold and this will be on the Roku channel.
Hopefully they're not sitting there saying we're on a bronze mine.
No, definitely not.
We want the metal to be the most precious.
Roku bronze channel.
Hey, the light bulb's going over their heads right now. Mike Del Tufo.
Charlie's on the phone right now with
somebody. Host of the Bronze Zone. Fantastic.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even like mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.